It's as if a well has been sunk deep into the sediment of my life, an artesian well drilled into the stratified, impermeable bedrock of the past, and every memory that is forced to the surface breeds another 10 in front of my eyes. Those provocative words come from Sting's 2003 memoir, Broken Music. They recall his 1987 experience with the South American psychotropic brew called ayahuasca. Elsewhere, Sting describes the experience in less rapturous terms. He says, "I have never felt this bad in my entire life, nor do I remember having been so afraid." Ayahuasca is a brew made from vines and plants native to South America. It's been used as a religious sacrament for centuries by native tribes there. For many, the experience is hallucinogenic, wrenching, and sickening. But many others emerge from it claiming to be transformed for the better, more loving, more forgiving, and with a profound sense of peace. So what is ayahuasca and what does it do? To learn more, we welcome Jonathan Thompson. Jonathan's a St. John's resident and co-founder of an organization called the Ethnobotanical Stewardship Council. He says he has ingested ayahuasca 6 times and plans to do so again, and he claims it helped him end alcohol dependency. Jonathan, welcome to Current State.
Thanks, Mark.
This is fascinating stuff. It's hard to know where to begin. Let's start by having you tell us about your life circumstances prior to 2001. That I take it, is when you first ingested ayahuasca?
It was actually in 2012.
2012?
Yep.
I beg your pardon. Okay, I've got my dates all messed up.
That's okay.
Talk to us about your life circumstances then a few years ago when you first consumed ayahuasca. Where were you in your life?
I worked really hard, and I was drinking every single day. I drank a bottle of wine every night when I came home from work, and it was just part of my life. I didn't consider myself an alcoholic at the time, but I was definitely a functional alcoholic. And I had the opportunity, we started this organization called the Ethnobotanical Stewardship Council, and I had this opportunity to go and have this experience with ayahuasca. And I agree with Sting, it was the most challenging experience of my entire life. It's not a recreational substance by any stretch of the imagination, unless you consider vomiting for 4 or 5 hours of recreational experience, which most people do not. But I came out of the other side just feeling like uplifted. I felt purified. I felt that I was more connected to my family, more loving, more willing to share my praise with people, more willing to be loving. And I recognized that alcohol was going to draw me in a different direction, and I just wasn't interested in it anymore. And
this elevated your awareness in some way then?
Yeah, I feel like it allowed me to be more connected to other people. So it isn't as much the experience in the moment of drinking the medicine and having this this psychedelic experience, if you will, but it's the way that you feel afterwards. It's the way that it just feels like it purifies you and feels like it connects you to the rest of the human race and allows you to, opens your heart in some ways.
How did you first become aware of ayahuasca?
Well, I've been aware of the psychedelic medicines in general for a really long time. I had a fairly large number of experiences with psilocybin mushrooms when I was an undergraduate here at Michigan State. And then we became aware, my best friend Joshua Wickerham and I became aware of ayahuasca, that there was some deaths that had occurred in the Amazon. And people were concerned about safety, concerned about seekers who were going down to Peru and Colombia and Ecuador to have these experiences, and they needed some guidance, some way to determine what's a safe experience and what's not a safe experience. And so my best friend has been involved in through an organization called the ICEAL Alliance in setting up standards all over the world. Most of his work has been in China. And he just recognized that our experience as undergraduates and the way that it benefited our lives then could, when we mix that with his current work, that we could maybe help out in some way. And so we started this organization. We set the table. It's a grassroots effort to create dialogue among stakeholders. So we engage in dialogue with people who do ayahuasca retreat centers in Peru. We also have been talking to indigenous leaders, and government officials in the South America to try to like get people together and have a conversation about how do we increase safety of seekers, and also how do we maintain the long-term sustainability of these plants, because they are, it's because ayahuasca in the last few years has become much more widely reported in the media, and more people are interested in what it can do. A lot of these plants are actually being taken out of the country and sold online and things like that. So it's the plants are being starting to be put under strain, and it's really important that we preserve these plants for not only for, you know, people that might be interested in the healing they can have, but for the traditional cultures. I mean, this is a part of traditional, not only traditional medicine in the sense of like healing, but also traditional religion. And it's really important that we make sure that these plants don't, you know, that we as white privileged America don't go down there and strip them of their culture by taking away all these plants and making them hard to find or too expensive.
Jonathan Thompson is our guest. Jonathan's a St. John's resident who has just wrapped up an Indiegogo campaign for funds to study ayahuasca, a psychotropic drink made from plants native to South America. You have ingested ayahuasca how many times then?
Six times.
Talk to us about your experiences in general.
So, like I said, with Sting, I'm actually, I actually live in Lansing.
Beg your pardon.
That's okay. It is challenging. It's the most challenging experience of my entire life. People, there's a physical aspect to it. Many people will have a lot of vomiting, and it is an overwhelming psychological experience. I have a friend who was suffering from PTSD. He was an Afghan veteran. And he had an experience that totally changed his outlook. He overcame a lot of the guilt that he had from people that he had killed. He actually had a visitation from someone that he had killed, and the person said that he forgave George for killing him and to don't worry about it, and that they were brothers. And since then, he's been able to like move on, and his wife and he are now expecting a child. He got a promotion at his job. So that's a story from someone else. For me, you know, I've had some of the most profound, like, visual experiences, but I tend to emphasize the lasting effects as opposed to the experience itself, because it's a very, very challenging experience is the way that I would describe it. I mean, people are sort of familiar with what you say, a bad trip, so to speak, with psychedelics. The thing about ayahuasca is it's done in a communal setting. So people, when you go to Peru, or to other countries in the Amazon where you can do this legally, you will sit in a grass hut with open sides, and you sort of sit, like people have their mats, and you lay down, and the person facilitating the experience, the ayahuasca or shaman, he measures out a dose for everyone, and it's a tea. It's served in kind of like a little wooden shot glass, and then everyone drinks, and the shaman will sing. And he sings these things called Icaros. And there's songs that he uses to help guide the person's experience. So if you get into a difficult place or you're having a quote-unquote bad trip, the shaman will sing to you. And he sings you out of that negative experience and into something positive. So it allows you to take the difficult experiences, which most people who have bad trips on psychedelics have them because either the situation that they're using the drug in is not the best situation. It's a bad setting, or they just have a lot of stuff going on in their head, and so it's all about what's inside of you.
But it's not what happens during the hallucinations that changes you. That's what I'm hearing you say. It's this mysterious process of going through hell to get to heaven, and somehow you don't carry the visualizations, the hallucinations with you after the experience. It's just how you feel after the experience that is the payoff here.
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, it allows you to take negative experiences in your life and reprocess them and separate them from maybe like the emotional baggage, and to like reevaluate the symbolism or reintegrate the symbolism of those experiences in a new way in your life. So you can take, like, say, a negative experience with people who have suffered from PTSD, can maybe separate the experiences that they had from the negative emotion and the fear and the anger, and say, well, here's this thing, and that's not who I am anymore, and I can move on from that, and it heals emotions, and it changes the way that your brain connections work, so that you can you can have a new experience around that memory.
I spoke yesterday with a California physician, Dr. Charles Grobe, medical doctor, who spent a month or so in Brazil studying the effects of ayahuasca on a group of natives there who had used it regularly. He told me that to this day, no one in the established medical community knows that much about ayahuasca and that the whole thing needs more study. He told me that there are many reports of what he called life transformative experiences, but some number of negative outcomes as well. Should mainstream medicine study ayahuasca's potential for the reasons that you have stated?
I think so. There's an organization in Toronto called the Ayahuasca Treatment Outcomes Project. It's headed by Dr. Brian Rush, and they are doing some really interesting work. They just had an Indiegogo campaign last year where they raised $30,000+, and they are working to study the people that are going to the Amazon and let's get some real numbers on what are the outcomes that people have if they go down there to have these to seek treatment.
And ayahuasca is not illegal in Michigan, is that correct? What's its status?
In the United States, ayahuasca would be considered a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substances Act. It is it's made from two plants. One would not be considered doesn't have any chemicals that would be considered controlled substances. The ayahuasca vine itself, it contains an MAO inhibitor, which takes the other plant, the chacruna, and chacruna contains something called dimethyltryptamine, or DMT, which is a Schedule I substance in the United States. So you mix those two plants together in a tea, and the MAO inhibitor in the vine prevents your stomach from breaking down the DMT, which is normally not orally active, and it makes it orally active. So in the United States, the ayahuasca would be considered a Schedule I substance.
For our listeners who want to learn more, give us the website of the Ethnobotanical Council that you co-founded.
It's www.ethnobotanicalcouncil.org. We're also on Facebook. You can connect with us on Twitter at @ESCouncil. And right now we have a fundraising campaign going on. We're working with a cooperative in Peru. People can sponsor the sustainable planting of an ayahuasca vine in the jungle.
We got to leave it there.
Sure, no problem.
Jonathan, been a fascinating encounter. I appreciate your being here very, very much. Jonathan Thompson of Lansing. We've been discussing ayahuasca.